For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Ory, three-pointer. Buries it.
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Happy Thanksgiving week.
Happy Thanksgiving, you jab turkeys.
You jab turkeys. It is the Big Shot Bob podcast. No B-Dog this week. B-Dog is traveling with his family for Thanksgiving, so it's just me and the big man, Rob Jenners, and of course, a seven-time NBA champion and a media starling, Robert Ory. I got to admit, we have a bunch of stuff to get to. We're going to get to the Draymond stuff, obviously, because that happened like right after we put up last week's show on, I think it was like Tuesday night. By Wednesday morning, I was like, God, man, son of a... So we'll get to all that in a second. We also got a little media coverage we'll talk about this week.
Should we title the show The Two Robs since B-Dog is not here?
Yeah, The Two Robs. And only Rob's Thanksgiving. Yeah, that's the this week's show. Only Rob's. It's a whole new website. Yeah.
Talk
about that too, because that came up this week. I have to admit that I did not have a chance last night to watch the finale of World's Toughest Test. I'm okay if you spoil it for me. Did you watch it? Who won?
I was too busy watching the game.
Okay, so you were watching the game.
Eagles Chiefs. That's what
I was watching. I'm 17-7 when I put it on after halftime, and I was like, and I watched the whole second half of the game. I never got around to watching Toughest. Do you know who won?
No, I don't.
You don't know who won. All right, I don't know either. So
I don't know.
If you know who won, we can't speak to it. But I will tell you that the two people I think that surprised me the most were JoJo.
Uh-huh.
And Tom Sandoval. Sandoval hung in way longer than I sort of anticipated he would. And JoJo was God bless that girl, man. She's a beast.
I do know one person that finished it.
That got to the end?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think there's only like five or six people left last time it was on. I think there was like five left.
Yeah.
It was like Nick and Aaron. And Tom Sandoval and JoJo and I think one other person. They pulled Tyler. Jack Osborne on the last episode for medical reasons.
Yeah, Tyler was
and there. Tyler. Yeah, Tyler was the other one. Yeah. But Rob was obviously on World's Toughest Test, so of course we're talking about it. But it bums me. We never got anybody on from the damn show. I wish we would have.
I know.
Everybody ghosted you. I thought Brian Austin Green would fucking leave you alone. Like, what happened?
You know what? I asked Jack, and
Savannah all over the place.
But I didn't ask. I never did. For some odd reason, I didn't ask Brian.
You should ask Brian sometime. And just have Brian on. Brian. We don't have to talk about the show. We'll just shoot the shit with Brian. He's a sports fan, and he's a good dude.
I text him later on. But we should ask one of the winners, meaning Aaron, because I know Aaron won. So
she got to the end?
Okay. Man, Aaron is a beast. See, people hung in, man.
There was stuff that she was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, and she killed it.
Nobody talked about her doing the show. It's like she was a little quiet assassin, and she was just sitting back like, y'all all going to disrespect me and not know what I can do. Because think about it, she's the only one that, if you really took everybody and said, who's in the best shape? Probably her and Tyler.
Tyler, obviously. Yeah, he's.
Yeah, everybody else is probably like, nah, I'm only weekend warriors. And so I think everybody else
I would have said Dez still, though, because I think Dez is pretty.
Dez is great.
He's pretty closely removed to his NFL career. You know, it wasn't that long ago. And that's not a shot at you, but you haven't been playing pro ball in
20 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
20 years.
Y'all hung it up in what, 07?
08. Yeah.
08. So, it's been 15 years since you were on a pro court. But
yeah, it's weird because we was talking about the other days, but this is 2003?
What?
It's been like 20,
2003 would have been the last Lakers title, I think.
30
right?
years since I won a Rockets championship this year.
Oh, yeah, 93. Yeah, 93 and 23.
94.
Yeah,
94.
94. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you didn't know 93. I'm thinking it was the 93-94 season. So, yeah, this coming year will be,
30 years.
30 years since that finals, man.
Yeah, I'm old as shit, man.
We all are, though. And that's part of it is you get older and then that stuff pops up. Like, I had a buddy of mine in high school. I was in New Jersey this past weekend for my dad's services, which were really nice. Anybody that reached out on Facebook, love you. Thank you. Appreciate you. But, and we had a bunch of people from the show reach out and say, hey, I was thinking about you and your dad. So that was really cool. But I had reconnected with a bunch of buddies from Jersey because that's where I grew up and went to high school in New Jersey. And they're like, yeah, man, 26 is going to be 30 years we're out of high school. And I said, excuse me? Oh, shit. Yeah, no, I graduated from high school in 1996. Oh, damn. Like, we're sneaking up on my 30-year high school reunion. So, yeah, I instantly had that moment of, shit, I feel old.
It's so funny. Why was my wife and I watching Goodfellas and I could only think about you? I was like,
That's all the guys I grew up with. That's why.
That's what I was saying.
I grew up with. Hey, get over here. What are you doing? Make some sauce.
It's funny because I was watching Goodfellas and I was like, God, how good this movie was. And I was like, New Jersey, and I thought about you, and I knew you was doing your dad's services, so I didn't want to bug you. So
no, it's good, man. You can text me anytime. A weekend of peace. Yeah, no, it was a travel weekend. I spent more time traveling than I did in the state of New Jersey, but that's always how it goes when you travel. But it was, dude, good. That was all the guys I grew up with in Goodfellas, man. All Paulie and all those dudes, man. I grew up with all those guys. All right, so do you want? I guess we could start with let's start with Draymond. Just because we're a little bit removed from it at this point. It happened last week right after we put the show up. And I'm gonna play the audio real fast just because and the only reason I'm going to play, and I'll play the audio and I'm going to explain to you why I'm going to play the audio from the game. So here's how it went down in the game last week.
And so we're scoreless. We'll stay 0-0 the first 2 minutes. And then look at Clay Thompson and McDaniels. What is going on with that?
Wow.
You've got a full-on fracas going on. Draymond came in to defend Clay. This got out of hand very quickly.
Look at Clay Thompson's jersey. It's ripped up. Now that's more than a scuffle. They were going at each other's heads. That was serious. Gobert gets in there. Draymond's got him in a headlock.
So this is why I wanted to play it. It was Jaden and Clay that got into it. You saw when Clay turned and threw him and Jaden just pulls his jersey and rips him like Tarzan. And he's just like, the jersey's I've never seen somebody rip a jersey like that, by the way. That was wild. But this didn't have a damn thing to do with Rudy Gobert or with Draymond. Mm-hmm. So Rudy, and I didn't even see, when I went back and watched, I didn't even see Rudy really put hands on anybody as much as I saw Rudy just kind of step in and try to stop whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then Draymond, I guess, thought he was getting involved in the fight and said, no, no, no. But, I mean, I've never seen a man in a scuffle in the NBA that didn't involve him go straight to the chokehold headlock move. Like, I was like, holy crap, he came out of nowhere and threw Gobert in a chokehold. And it was Draymond gets 5 games. Do you think the suspension was deserved or fair, or like where are you on this?
This is one of those ones when you look at Joe Dumars and say, okay, you got it right, because it gets to a point where when you watch it, he didn't want to let go.
He was hanging on to him like he was riding one of those mechanical bulls. He was just like, no.
It's like he was mad at him for something, But it's just so funny everybody has their opinions about it. And this is why I tell everybody, I always think about Rudy T. You don't grab another player. You grab someone from your team.
And pull them away. Right. Get them out of the fight.
It's the weirdest thing. Guys always love to grab the other guy from the other team. I'm like, no, you protect your player. You get him out of the ruckus and just do that. And so Draymond said, okay, you're going to attack my teammate? I'm going to attack you. But I think in the moments like that, everybody would say, well, he had Clay around the neck. And I was like, I looked at it. I don't remember him grabbing Clay around the neck.
No, he didn't have Clay around the neck.
Yeah, and so
I didn't see that.
And that's the thing, from the outside looking in that moment, that split moment, you say, oh, he got my teammate around the neck. I'm going to get you around the neck. So it was just weird. So,
yeah.
But this is from all the Draymond's antics from over the years. And I think I'll give Joe Dumars this one. I give him a fair shake on this one.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, sort of the conversation was, did what he did just justify five games? And I agree with you. I think this was you've qualified for this suspension by your past behavior, by the Sabonis incident earlier in the season, you know, that kind of stuff. That's what's going to get you, man. This was, and I'm glad you brought up Rudy T. We had Steve Kerr after the game saying he hung on for 6-7 seconds. It was a terrible visual for the league, for Draymond, for everybody. Draymond was wrong. He knows that. It was a bad look. The five games was deserved, and we move forward.
Yeah.
Does it bug you at all that your head coach doesn't have your back? In Draymond's little universe, man, I could see that being something he hangs on to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you got to think about it. Steve Kerr probably, if you get to a point where you say, man, I'm so sick of this shit.
I get it. And look, we've had Coach Kerr on. We've had him on the show before. Steve Kerr, to me, feels very much just like I'm not bothered kind of guy. You know, he just kind of says what he says. He's not doing it from a perspective of well, I'm going to put a guy out here and put him on display and make us. So I think Steve was just like, well, it was a bad look, so I kind of get it, and we're going to move on. But I think in Draymond's mind, you kind of keep that nugget in the back of your brain, right? Like,
yeah,
man, so Coach Curry got my back here.
What did Jordan always say? I didn't add it to my.
And I took that personally. I took that personally. It's the Jordan meme. It's the Steve Kerr. But yeah, I mean, I was trying to think. Shaq said on TNT this week, last week, that he would have done the same thing. He's like, I think to your point though, attacking another player on the other team is usually what sets it off. So it's like, if you're going to, the only reason to do that is if your guy and him are mixed up in it and they won't separate. And it didn't feel like that. At that point, it's like you get in the middle, you grab your guy, pull your guy out. But Shaq's like, nah, I'd have done the same damn thing. I'd thrown an arm around somebody's throat and pulled him out of a fight. Get off my guy.
Yeah, I remember the time Shaq got into a fight with, what's the guy from Chicago? And we were like, it was right under our basket, and everybody was. It seemed like Shaq always gets into a fight under the basket.
Well, there's always under the basket. That's where he lived. Yeah, under the basket. So yeah.
So he got into the fight, and now
the Charles thing, the freaking Chris Dudley thing, all that stuff.
And what's the guy that was in Chicago, and then he went to Sacramento? I can't think of his name.
I can't think of it either.
Big white guy. And so they were in there scrumbling, and we talked about this with Meta. And everybody was grabbing everybody. I looked over at Matt. I'm like, nah, I ain't grabbing nobody. I'm a backup.
Don't drag
I'm
my like, ass into this.
Me and Matt are like pushing each other. Yeah. And we looked at each other like, nah, let's not do it. Let's just let them figure this shit out. We got two people that big, you don't get involved.
Hell no. No. And you had, and I think too, I get that, dude, it's adrenaline and it's emotion and a fight breaks out. And then immediately your thought is, I got to protect my guy. So I do get all that. When you went up into the stands to grab Mad Max, when Vernon went up in the stands in Houston, did you catch a suspension for that?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? I didn't think you did. Yeah.
Because I didn't. I grabbed Vernon.
Right. And you were pulling Vernon out. But,
yeah, I didn't touch anybody. But
you were in the stands.
Yeah.
So that's always where I'm like, as soon as you're kind of up in the stands, that's usually like at least a game, you know, just to tell you, hey, you can't, you know.
I thought I was going to get suspended. Otis and I both was like, oh, shit, we going to get suspended.
Yeah.
But they was like, we didn't do anything but grab our player. And we didn't touch nobody else. We just got him out of the stands.
I don't remember. What did Vernon get for that?
I think he got
5? 10?
I think he had 10 games.
10 games. I think it was 10. Sure. I think you're right. It might have been 10 games. I don't remember off the top of my head. I know we had Vernon on a while back. We talked about it, but I just can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's typical Draymond behavior for me.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's like, when it happens, okay, you want to throw him a suspension, go for it. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to happen.
So we should have, what are the odds him getting suspended again?
Of Draymond getting 100%. I don't think there's a chance he plays out the rest of his contract without another suspension. I don't want, because he's a very emotional and physical player. You know, those two things, like, and you
has he signed his new deal yet?
I don't know if he signed it. I think they agreed to it. I don't know if he signed it yet, though. I would imagine he probably has. But like when I don't have to explain this to you, when emotions and physicality kind of collide, dude, that's tough sledding, because adrenaline, you're already a physical player, and then it's like, forget it, I'm getting in there. You know, you almost can't stop yourself. And we joked about this. I knew guys in college that couldn't stay out of the fight. You know, two people get into a fight, and here comes another guy with a haymaker out of nowhere just to get in the middle of it. And it's like, just stay out of the fight while I run hot. So he seems like he's the guy that runs hot. So.
It's that it's the protecting them, man. They like to protect their teammates. And I had a guy like that on my team named Marcus Webb. He was always there to protect me. I had to worry about nothing. I loved it. Oh. I could be an asshole, you know, elbow somebody back, push him,
and I'm fine.
Look back. He was not like, it didn't matter. Marcus was like, he was 6'9", 275, played football.
Awesome.
He was my backup. Well, I miss Marcus Webb when I had him. He was the best.
Yeah, because you could run your mouth and just be like, yo, step out the way, let him get in there.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
We got a couple stories from LA this week. We'll move on from the Draymond stuff. LeBron, honestly, playing about as well as I've seen him play in quite a while. He's playing really well, but he's playing through injury. I don't know. This was a weird story. Janie Buss said this week, I think to the LA Times, Lakers fans don't like to be patient. When she was talking about the team. And then, of course, you go on social and she's getting dragged on social media for saying Lakers fans don't want to be patient.
Well, she's, she's right, though.
I think that's every fan base. It's,
but no, you got to understand.
Fans aren't patient.
Laker fans, they were patient for a couple of years after Kobe. And it's like, who's our next superstar? You got LeBron and you won a championship. Now that addiction of winning is back. And so, and rightfully so, you got to think about it. Since the Buss family took over the Lakers, all they do is win, 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 right? Yeah. And so when you accustom something, you expect a certain product that's put on the court. And that's what they want. And like, especially when they see you got two megastars. Think about this. Every time you get two megastars, you win championships in the Laker uniform. So they're expecting that. So,
yeah, but I mean, I feel like sports fans in general – aren't patient people. But you can't tell them that.
there's a lot of people that don't expect your ass down
because, man, they get fired. Oh, you tell me how to come out. And you're like, okay, all right, stop. Calm down.
Well, you got a lot of fans. They're like, the Spurs fans are the best fans because, you can lose over there. Like, oh, we love our Spurs. They gave us our championship. Oh, we love our Spurs. There's certain fans out there that's just like, okay, we're going to rock with our team because it's an honor to root for them. So right. I think the Spurs, from being a – personally know that that's how the fans are, but there's gonna be other people. Like, I bet you Boston, I've never come across Boston fans, but I'm sure they're the same. We're like, we need to win now.
Oh, that's always that's, I mean, you should I mean, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. They're calling for Bill Belichick's head in New England right now because the Patriots are so bad. And it's like, dude, did you forget that guy won you what, 6-7 Super Bowls? Like,
exactly,
6 Super Bowls in New England. Calm down. Like, give him a chance to build a roster. And I think the problem is with Belichick being the GM, his neck's on the line. But when you win as much as the Patriots have over the last 20 years, all of a sudden, when you're not good, you have a generation of fans who don't understand that. who didn't go through the 80s, you know, who didn't go through the years the Patriots sucked. You've got generations of Lakers fans that are our age that never suffered through big periods of losing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they never had to go through extended periods of it. So, you know, sports think fans in you, general, man.
Think about the Cleveland fans.
Well, think about, like, yeah, the Cleveland fans are God bless, man. I mean, with all the crap they've been through and the Deshaun Watson stuff and, I mean, having to change the name of their ball club. And, I mean, it's just, it's a not, and I think, I always used to think of the Cubs. Because the freaking Cubs went, what, like 108 years or some nonsense between World Series wins. And they finally got it done a few years back. And it was like, thank God, this is off our back. We can get rid of this. But, I mean, the Cubs fans and Red Sox fans had to suffer for years without winning titles and being the joke of the league and all that
think
stuff.
Think about the city of Houston. The city of Houston, the first championship in the city of Houston, all the great Oilers team, all the great Astros team, was us in 94.
It was you. Yeah. Yes. Until the all Astros won a couple and cheated their asses off. You know what I mean? But, like, yeah. I think that, you know, there's, like, this impatience in any fan base of great teams to win. I mean, we see it every day with the Braves. We work here at Truist Park in Atlanta. The Braves won in 21. The last 2 years, they've had far and away two of the best teams in the National League and got run out of the playoffs in the first round. Yeah. So the fan base is hostile and loud and angry because they feel like they deserved more. So I feel like Lakers fans are the same way. You always feel like you deserve, especially when you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I think everybody should be like Major League. Those two fans in Major League, they suck. They ain't winning this game. We're going to keep coming to the game.
The guys in the stands at the drum. Yeah, they still suck. They're there for all the ups and downs.
Yeah.
What's going on with Zach LaVine, by the way?
That is the weirdest situation. You know, you got everybody wants to trade for this guy. You know, everybody was talking about, he's going to come to
the Lakers. He doesn't seem happy.
I don't think he's ever been happy because I was like.
But I don't think it's ever been a story, though, has it? Or at least it's not bled through to the point where it has recently, I think.
I think it's been oncoming for years. You know, the thing about him is he's been playing through all of this. He's been, you know, the word is he's been unhappy for a long time there.
Okay.
But he just keeps playing through it. And then when they got all these trades with, you know, DeMar DeRozan and Caruso, all right, they say, okay, this is a team we can win with. And all of a sudden, they have on paper, they have a really good team, but they don't win. They got close, but they don't win. And it's the weirdest thing. And when you look at this lineup, it says, okay, they can win with this lineup.
There has been years in Chicago, and I think it might have been years without Zach LaVine, where you thought the Bulls were going to go on a run. Like, the Bulls set themselves up where you're like, oh, here you go, Bulls are back. Yeah. And then they just fizzle out. You know, they get to the second half of the season, you hit the All-Star break, and all the hype comes down, and all the momentum comes down, and, you know, you start dropping games.
I always look at guys like Vucevic. Vucevic was an all-star in Orlando, killing people. But all of a sudden, he gets to another team. Like I put him and Lopez in the same category. They all-stars on the block, killing people, can't stop them. All of a sudden, he says, you know what? I need to shoot threes.
Yep.
And they go from averaging like 25 points a game to 15 points a game. And I'm like, oh, I got to shoot threes. I'm like, would you rather average 15 points or 25 points? It's like the scoring difference is a huge, huge gap in that. But because I was a big Vucevic fan, but he just hasn't been that killer guy that he was in Orlando. And I know it has a lot to do with it. He was the main cog there, and he's not here, but still find a way to use him.
I get frustrated with big guys shooting threes. it's been one of my sticking points for as long as I've been a fan of the NBA. Anytime I see a big man, like a true four or a five, with his foot behind the three-point line, pull it up, I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, I don't care how good of a shooter you are from three. Get your big ass down on the block. Get in the paint. Push some people around and get some buckets, man. What are you doing?
Another night, they were playing the Rockets, and the Lakers playing the Rockets. AD went to the post, scored like four times in a row. I'm like, oh, shit.
Here we go.
And all of a sudden, they went away from him. I'm like, now he's not scoring. Like, what? And then Ham was like, oh, we went old school and had to go 90s and to get AD off. I'm like, you should go old school every night.
Dude,
to
if it's
get
working,
AD going.
If yes. it's working and he's scoring and you're, I mean, what the hell? Isn't that the point? Get
like,
the bucket, bro.
Man. I don't understand. I don't think they run any plays with AD in that time. It's okay. We got to get AD going.
I can't tell you the last time I saw them run a set like that for AD.
I know it, right? I was like, am I watching Shaq?
Yeah, what the hell is going on? Because, and that, you know what, and to you specifically, that feels like basketball. Because that's when you played in the league, and when I was the biggest fan of the NBA, that's the way basketball was played. It was played inside out. You know what I mean? It started with the guy down low.
Yeah. It's always, to me, it's like, I don't care if whoever has the advantage, that's who you go to. That's just how I play
Hell
basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, if the two guys are evenly matched, defense, offense, why am I going to go to you when I got a guy over here can get score way easier? I don't understand it, but that's why we sitting over here coaching.
Yeah, exactly.
Not on the
sideline. Sideline coaching. Hell yeah. Look, man, if they run Ty Lue out, me and you.
I'm calling you my first call.
Me, you, and Clipper Darryl. We'll make it work, baby. Get me a jacket. I'm all in. The Zach LaVine thing's weird. They're talking about where he's going to go. Miami, Philly, and the Lakers.
I know.
Are on his radar, which is funny to me. Not so much funny to me, but come on.
He's an LA guy.
But come on.
It's the crazy part. Like, why would the LA guys want to come back to LA and play? Look at the Clippers. All the LA guys on that team.
How much
of LA guys would go to the Lakers?
Right, but even besides being an LA guy, how much of that has to do with maybe I can play with LeBron before his career's over and get to put that on my resume? I played with LeBron
that'd be
James
cool,
in LA.
I think with him though, he was a Laker fan growing up. You know, he went to UCLA, right?
I believe so. Yes.
He just wants to be in that purple and gold.
Do you think that legitimately could happen, or do you think it's just basketball hearsay?
It depends on It depends on what they want for Zach LaVine. Because I think with Zach LaVine, he's like one of those players that like the Rudy Gays of the world that are good, but what's the demand for him? You know, I don't know what the demand.
Yeah,
for
where
him
does
is
he fit in the NLA's offense too?
Yeah, and what they're willing to give up. Now they could get him for like let's say you know just a couple of their bench players. I don't think they're gonna give away anybody. Like
I think it's gonna be picks at least.
Yeah,
you know, but
I think the only person they could probably give away that is probably D'Angelo Russell.
Okay,
because those guys are sort of a similar role. They play the same position. That's the only person I see the Lakers be willing to give up off that team. And maybe Rui or Prince, because those two guys play the same position.
Yeah.
But nothing more. I don't see anything else.
Okay. Well, I don't know if they're gonna be able to move enough stuff to
move
and what, the needle for Chicago.
And then you got to see, okay, Chicago, what's over there is valuable enough for you? What's important to you? You want defense? Okay, we throw Vando in there. And I don't think the Lakers are going to move the young fella, Cam, right now, because he's been playing really well for them.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. And then the other landing points were Miami and Philly.
Miami just wants some offense.
Philly, I don't see that happening.
I don't think
Philly needs it right now.
You don't need it.
Why would you try to add something else? Now you're the Clippers. Now you're just putting too much stuff in. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I'm like, the Philly right now, they're playing really well.
They're playing
together.
Real
got great
well.
Chemistry.
Yeah.
Don't add. Now, if Zach LaVine was like a Pat Bev or someone who can come in and lock down people, you add him, you make him come off the bench. But Zach LaVine is not that. So if I'm Philly, you don't add him unless you have a strong understanding. Yo, you're coming off the bench, and when, Maxie is out, we're going to have you come in and play some, play that same role.
Right.
So,
but otherwise, you got to ride with the guys you got right now in Philly.
Exactly.
Miami, though, maybe that's a fit in Miami.
Yeah.
You probably have to shuffle a few things, but if you decide that you want to try and move a Duncan Robinson or something and try and make that work for Miami, I don't know. I don't know who the hell's going to eat his contract, but
I know. They're not going to take that contract.
No.
Duncan Robinson's not going anywhere unless it's like someone, he's a filler in a package, but I think the only thing you're going out is Tyler Hero. That's the only person that seems like they're willing to get rid of.
They've been trying to move him for what, 2 seasons now, it seems like. He's been trade bait for everybody for 2 years, man.
Hey, they're like, I'm dangling this carrot. He's a nice offensive player.
Who wants Tyler Hero? He's out
he's
there.
He's a hero.
Yeah, he's out there.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I don't know. This story is, by the way, according to Chris Haynes from Bleacher Report. Russell Westbrook approached Ty Lue and the coaching staff of the Clippers about coming off the bench in order to accelerate the winning process. Terrence Mann got the start Friday night in place of Russ. They finally got their first win with James Harden after losing five straight. It was a last-second shot over the Rockets to get it done. I mean, Harden had to hit it. I think there was like 6 seconds left on the clock, and he had that pull-up three to get that win. But Russ coming off the bench by Russ's request.
You know, I think Russ is smart. And yeah, I think Russ is trying to show everybody around the league that he's willing to do anything to win. Because, you know, for a while, everybody was making Russ the bad guy. You know, the Lakers made him the bad guy. You know,
oh, the Rockets Lakers 100% made him the bad guy. Yeah.
You know, everywhere he went, they was making him the bad guy. And I think with him is he wants to win. I know Russ. I just know he wants to win. He has the desire to do the right thing. And the thing he's going to do is also just play hard. And that's what you want out of a guy. And I think he probably said that because he knows there's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Has to.
You know, and James is not going to play that many minutes until he gets in shape. So, you know, Westbrook said, oh, let's do this. And then they got a win against San Antonio Spurs last night. So yeah. I think it's and plus Westbrook can be, you know, sixth man a year. Go back to last season where he almost won it, you know.
You know what's funny? I early in the year, I would have shook my head at that. Looking at that now, that might be the smartest thing he could do.
Yeah.
Because you can lead that second unit a little bit. You can get key minutes. You can score when they need you off the bench.
Uh-huh.
Dude, yeah. if you can make this work at your behest and show everybody that you're unselfish, that you're willing to take up the role that you need to for the team to win, dude, that could win you another contract down the line, you know?
Exactly. And I think him and Norman Powell play well together. And Norman Powell, to me, is that glue for the Clippers. You know, everybody wants to talk about, you know, you always have superstars.
Yeah.
You got those like in George and Leonard, but you need guys like Norman Powell who just, whatever you need,
grinders,
I got
man.
You.
Yeah, you need grinders.
Yeah, you got the grinder.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hope it works out. I really do, because I got nothing against Westbrook. There was a time where watching Westbrook play was just like, God bless.
I know,
and it was
right?
mostly Oklahoma City, but I mean, he was, even when everybody left him behind in Oklahoma City, he was still averaging the triple-double. It was just like,
energy.
Damn, when he's on his game and his energy is up and he's running, man, he's incredible.
You know, it's like it's some people you look at, it's like, you know, I just need to spend a month with you, eat what you eat, do what you for your workout. Because I wonder, where you got this damn energy
for
from,
real,
man? He just has energy for days and he's just, it has to be something in his diet.
Got to be. I don't know what he's
it
eating.
Got to be. Where does he get these wonderful toys?
Now we're doing Batman line, so we're screwed now. Now we go down the rabbit hole we never come back from. This is where B-Dog would pull us out of this, and then you and I are going to end up in comic book hell. All right, well, it is college football rivalry week. We do have a lot of good games this weekend. Man, do we got a lot of good games.
A lot.
We'll start by saying I hate it for Jordan Travis.
Oh,
that
my
broke
goodness.
My damn heart because I am not an FSU fan. But I said this when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. I'm not a Jets fan. I freaking hate the Jets. I feel horrible for the Jets. I'm not an FSU fan. I feel terrible for the Seminoles. And I feel horrible for Jordan Davis. At 10-0, on the cusp of the college football playoff with, what, 1 week to go? You got Florida. At which Jordan Travis in the game against UF, you run UF out of the building. Without Jordan Travis, you go, oh, damn. Well, we got to get it done against Florida to try and get to the college football playoff. But
because they just right now, I hate to say this, but they were like, your star Heisman quarterback is gone. Yeah, that means your season is over. They just one hiccup and they're going to just
I hope
be
that
gone.
Isn't the case, man. I mean, Florida has been a weird team this year. Florida's played well against some people and just shit the bed against others. They've been a very up and down team. So now you look at FSU and you go, all right, a team that has struggled a bit this year with Jordan Travis, a team that squeaked out a win over a Miami squad that's not that great, much improved but not great. They lost. No, they didn't lose. They were undefeated, but they had a couple close calls. If Florida dials up one of their better games, and you don't have your Heisman guy, that could be it for FSU. Because I think if you lose to an unranked Florida, you're done, man. You're out. You're coming in at probably 8 or 9.
Well, you also got to think about this. If Washington wins out, they're going to drop. I hate to say this, just because you know. Everything depends on your quarterback. And their quarterback, Heisman, like I said, if he's not playing, they're going to like, oh, they have no chances. So they're going to drop them.
Yep.
And let's be honest. And you hate that it's going to happen to him because you don't know what his backup can do. He might be able to step in there and play the same role because their receivers are some elite receivers over there in Florida. Oh, my goodness.
They're tall. They're fast. Yes. I mean, they are a mismatch for almost every cornerback that they play. Yeah.
So don't disrespect Florida State's. I don't know.
By no stretch.
Now,
I just guess, I don't even. And that's the other thing. I don't even know who their backup is.
Mm-mm.
And I could have dug into it and found out. I'm sure, but I didn't. I just didn't. Yeah. I was just like, oh my god, Jordan Travis. So my hope is you could see Florida State's offense compensate with the offensive line can open up the running game. You open up the running game, all of a sudden those receivers start cutting free, and then you got a shot. But if Florida dials one up against you. Whoever that backup is, man, that kid's going to have to play real well.
Yeah.
Keep Florida State in it. But I hate it for Jordan Travis, man. Thoughts to that young man, because I think early on in his FSU career, there wasn't a lot of faith in that kid. And he showed everybody. He really did. He showed everybody he was a hell of a quarterback. Because I think he was brought in, and they were just like, this kid's going to end up being a running back or a receiver.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to take him off the ball in time, and he's either going to catching passes in the slot or running out of the backfield.
That's how they do the athletic quarterbacks. So he can't throw. Put him, put him over there. You know, put him everywhere.
Put him in the slot. Let him catch a few balls over the middle. Right. Yeah, exactly. So, but thoughts to that young man. But we'll see how that shakes out.
I hope he comes back and he's able to go to the next level and play on the next level, because you hate for his season to end like that. It's just awful.
Yeah. Ohio State, Michigan. Seems like it's always the one that hinges every year when we hit rivalry week, because it never fails. Like the last 4 or 5 years, they're always either one loss or unbeaten when they face each other. This year is one of those years where they're both unbeaten. They're the number 2 and 3 teams in the country right now. I think Ohio State boat races Michigan. I think they win by like 3 touchdowns.
I hope they do, so they can just take Michigan and put them out the pasture, man. Keep every year, Michigan / Notre Dame, they said, okay, we this, we that. No, you're not.
You've never done it. You got to get it done. You can't lose in the college football playoff to TCU and then pat yourself on the back for getting back into the top 4. It doesn't work. So, I mean, I think legitimately Michigan's a good team. Mm-hmm. Michigan has not played anybody like Ohio State. And they're going to get everything, as they do every year, in the biggest game of the week.
Ohio State hasn't been that good either.
No, they've been all right.
They've been all right. Okay.
I've seen their offense struggle against a few people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's who and at they're at Michigan, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think the game's in Michigan.
Yeah. So I might give the edge to Michigan this time because Ohio State.
I will tell you, the big house will be on fire.
Oh, it's gonna be on fire.
I mean, on fire. So when you talk about hostile environment, dude, that's
so I'm going. Okay. I think I'm gonna rock with Michigan this game
because
I'm not high on one of these teams.
I wonder what the line is on this game. I didn't look up the line. Let's see if Siri knows. Hey Siri, what's the betting line on Ohio State and Michigan this weekend? Oh, thanks, Siri. You're doing a great job. I appreciate all your help that you didn't offer me. Oh, yeah, they're both 11-0. The game's at Michigan.
Yeah.
God but bless. It's going to be a good game.
But Ohio State almost lost to two teams. Notre Dame's Notre Dame game. I watched that. They almost lost to. So it was just a Notre Dame game. They had a good schedule. Notre Dame and Penn State, they play. You know, Penn State is not that good, but, you know, you keep saying Penn State's good.
Oh, damn. Michigan's a 3.5-point favorite.
See? I'm rolling with
Michigan,
man.
Michigan's laying 3.5 points against Ohio State. Are you kidding me?
I tell you, I'm rocking with Michigan on
this
game, man.
All right, I guess it's just because they're home.
They're at home, and that's the only reason.
I couldn't give you another reason why Michigan would be laying 3.5 against Ohio State.
That's the only reason I'm going with Michigan.
Yeah.
I just think it also a seasoned quarterback. Michigan's quarterback is a little bit more seasoned than
I'll give you that.
Think about Ohio State has C.J. Stroud right now, who's killing it in the NFL. I just think that
I was going to say that, by the way. Props to C.J. Stroud, who's playing his ass off right now.
Hey, he might be MVP of the league.
I don't know if he's quite that, but he's rookie of the year?
Yeah, he's going to be rookie of the year.
I mean, dude, he's playing lights out. Good for that young man.
I'm happy for D'Amico, you know, first-year coach out of Alabama. Yeah, let's go, D'Amico.
Also, you got the Iron Bowl this week.
Yeah.
Alabama-Auburn. Auburn has been terrible.
Awful.
Auburn has just been absolutely terrible. I think Alabama's going to win by, like, 28. I don't know what the line is, but I think Alabama's going to win by, like, 4 touchdowns. It's going to be ugly.
I wonder what the line is.
It's probably
like 14, man, you know.
Every now and then there's a big line, but it's always against the cupcake team. So let's see.
Yeah.
Iron Bowl odds.
Oh, speaking of Alabama.
Go, man.
So a lot of these players, they watch ESPN, they watch the news. How in the world is the Alabama quarterback going to do what was the guy from Colorado? No, it was almost lost. What team was it the other day? But the guy got an interception. He ran it back and dropped the ball before he crossed.
Oh, that was the Alabama. Wasn't that Alabama?
But it was a week before that a guy did it. And it was a big game, but it was the Washington game, I think it was. But it was funny, but it had just happened a week before. And how are you going to come out the very next week and do the same thing?
I saw the Alabama quarterback do it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who had done it the week before.
Yeah, it was and I can't remember because the big lineman saw him do it and ran and fell on it, and they ended up getting a safety out of it anyway. So I can't remember.
Yeah,
but it was talked about all over the sports world, right? And how are you going to do it the next week? Come on, man!
Alabama's a 15-point favorite.
Yeah,
you were pretty damn close. 14, you said 14. Yeah, that was a good guess. Yeah. Alabama's laying 15, and I think that. That's probably they'll cover that in a breeze, but
yeah,
we'll see how it goes, and then we get to roll into the SEC championship game.
Yeah, that's gonna be the game.
That's gonna be a fist fight, man. I'm excited for that. It's gonna be a fist fight. All right, let's do Big Shot of the Week, and then we'll do a quick game, and then we are wrapped for Thanksgiving. And we'll talk a little bit about Thanksgiving here in a second. My Big Shot of the Week this week, it's a little unconventional. Did you read it?
Yeah.
It's going to Snoop Dogg. Big Shot of the Week this week is going to Snoop Dogg. You know why, right?
Yeah.
The whole thing that he did this week with I'm going to quit smoke went everywhere. It was on every television station. It was on every news report. TMZ had it. It was everywhere. And then yesterday he rolls out the commercial for the Solo stove, which I've heard of before and done work with before, as the smokeless fire pit. It burns like clean. So it's not like, and the fact that this was a marketing stunt is borderline genius. Whoever came up with this and got Snoop to buy into it deserves an award. And I don't know what the award is, but Solo stove got more free advertising. They're getting some right now, for Christ's sake. They got more free advertising on this marketing stunt than I think any brand I've ever seen as far as like a viral PR stunt goes. So props and Big Shot of the Week to Snoop Dogg for showing everybody that he's a hell of a lot smarter than maybe sometimes people give him credit for. Because that is brilliant. That was brilliant.
That is funny, man. I was like, what the hell, man, when I saw this. Hey, and they had to find out what Solo Stove was. I looked at them like, hell, I want one of those.
You know how many hits their website got this week? They probably crashed their servers.
I know.
Because
it, right?
This, when I say it was everywhere, I think, I saw it on the damn local news. In Atlanta, the local news did a freaking package about, a big entertainment icon's quitting his signature thing. And it was like, this went everywhere. And Solo Stove is, there is no happier business on the planet right now than whatever they spent with Snoop Dogg, he earned them back 100-fold.
And the funny part is, like, you live in California. People say it don't get that cold, but it gets just cold enough for a Solo Stove.
Dude, I'll tell you what. We have a little fire pit on the back patio, and we don't use it that much because I got to buy like a cord of wood, and you got to make sure the weather's – and then it's, when you get it going, it cooks for a while.
Lazy.
Then you got to pour out the ashes and clean them.
I'm too lazy.
Dude, it's a whole thing. Those Solo Stoves are dope, man. Those Solo Stoves are dope. They burn clean stuff. You don't have to put logs in them or anything like that. They burn like a white, I don't even know what the hell it is. It's like pellets or something. And it's just a smokeless fire pit. It's freaking awesome. They got more free advertising this week than you could have. They couldn't have paid for this shit. They couldn't have paid for this much advertising. No company could have. So big shout of the week to Snoop Dogg. What's Thanksgiving like at your house before we play this week's game?
Oh, my goodness. You know,
are you guys cooking?
Changed.
Who cooks?
It changed over the years. You know, once Candace and I got married, it became from me trying to sneak out to my mom's house. But now it's like Candace, you know, she has, let me say this about Candace's family. They love every holiday. They get together. They celebrate everything from Easter to 4th of July to everything. But everybody cooks, you know, everybody tries to cook their favorite dish. And Candace is, you know, she's kind of a takeover type person. She cooks most of the meals. So I sit back and don't do shit anymore. I love it.
You don't do nothing.
I don't do shit.
Does mama come in?
Mama's coming in this season. Yeah. But she's like, I had to beg her to come in. She's like, all right, I'm coming. I said, I just need you to make two things. She said, I ain't making shit.
So I'm like, okay.
I said, just, you know.
What did you need her to make?
Her broccoli and cheese casserole. I love that.
That's good.
And
if
she's
it's
like,
done right.
Okay, that's easy. I can make that. And then I says, I want some peas. She's like, what? Okay, peas. That's easy. So I love my mama. She does these not black eyed peas, but green peas, like fresh peas. I don't know what they call, but they're so freaking good. Mm. Yeah. So
all right.
That's all I wanted right there.
Good stuff.
And then I'm gonna make some cornichons because I want cornichons because I really don't like turkey.
Oh man, I love turkey.
Unless I get the turkey leg. Yeah. That's the only thing I eat.
Oh man, so. I love some turkey. Yeah, I bought a 15-pound bird yesterday.
We got a 23-pound bird.
Oh, you win. Okay, you win. I got a house full of kids that are gonna come raid that bird. So I bought a nice big 15-pound
bird. Do you do the
bird
yourself?
I do the bird, and it's gonna be a little sad this year because my dad came in every Thanksgiving, and we do the bird together.
Okay.
Me and my dad always did the bird together, and my dad had his own little tips and tricks of, okay, we gotta do it this way, and you gotta tent it for this long, and all that stuff. So I'm doing the bird without my dad this year.
How do you cook yours? Just straight oven?
Yeah, I just straight oven cook it, but you got to tent it a little bit and season it right and make sure you don't burn the top and all that stuff. Yeah. All my dad's little tricks. You got to baste every 20 minutes and all that stuff. So it's a little bit sad this year, but I love to cook, so I'm going to cook. I always cook up Thanksgiving. I do mashed potatoes and the whole nine. So
do you put like the, what's it called, like the ghee on top of the bird and like, so it get that, make the skin look crispy so the outside will crisp more and keep it juicy?
A little bit, yeah. So, yeah, and it's seasoned, and I will tent it. So, like, the first several hours it's in there, a couple hours it's in there, it's tented with aluminum foil so we don't burn it. And then you let it go for, like, the last hour, hour and a half without the foil, and it'll just get that nice crisp on the skin. Oh, good stuff, man.
So, best turkey I ever had is one season, my ex-wife and I, we had a bunch of people at the house, so we said we did the turkey. We did two turkeys because we had like maybe like 30 people coming over.
Yes.
And we did one in a rotisserie. That was gone. That turkey was gone. Everybody ate the rotisserie.
Rotisserie is
It was
I mean, it is delicious.
It's like we put it in and let it cook overnight slowly. Oh my goodness, the whole house smelled good. And then when it came out, it was so freaking good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Have you ever done the deep fried turkey?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never done that, but I've heard it is like everyone screams that it's the best way to cook a turkey.
Well, I have never done it personally, but I've had
but
some.
You've
it's
had
really
it.
Good.
I've never I've even had it.
Oh, you got it, man. You fight over the chicken, the turkey wings. They're
oh, for
so
real?
Good.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. I've just watched the horror videos online of people trying to deep fry turkeys, and they drop them in, and the thing goes, and I'm like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, if something can explode, I will blow it up. So I'm all the way up.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Before we move on to the game, there was one thing I forgot we got to bring up.
And uh-oh.
You mentioned your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Props to whoever wrote this article at Essentially Sports, reflecting on wife's OnlyFan alternative, and seven-time NBA champ discloses one absolute deal-breaker. And it is an article on you and our dumbass OnlyFans conversation that took over last week's shoot-around. Whoever spent the time... Now, granted, last week's shoot-around, the first, like, 15 minutes was just got into a wild OnlyFans rant. So if you haven't listened to that, go listen to that, because that's nuts. But we were talking about the Joe Smith story, and I asked you kind of jokingly if you found out Candace had an OnlyFans. What would you do behind your back? That's just a joke. Just a goof-off conversation. Someone wrote a whole damn article about it. I was like, bro, thank you for the press. We'll always take the press, but...
That was funny.
Holy crap. Like, what? Oh, it was great.
We land in bed, Candace starts laughing. I was like, what the fuck is this? She shows it to me, I just start laughing.
And then you got to explain to her, we had this dumbass conversation about OnlyFans, and now an NBA player found his wife had an OnlyFans behind his back.
Hey, I said, you better go make your OnlyFans account, Mac, because people are looking for you.
Yeah, because there's people that are like, holy shit, Robert Rory's wife has an OnlyFans? Like, they are looking. I promise you, they are looking. Yeah. Oh, that is great, man. Mm. So props to Essentially Sports.
That's funny.
Oh, that was good. He sent us that, and I could not believe it. I could not believe it. Oh, it's so good. All right, well, it is funny. Thanksgiving week. We always wrap up with a game. There's no B this week. Mm. So we'll get to do this just for fun. I obviously know the answers, so I can't play along. But the stories are fun to talk about. This week's game is called Black Thanksgiving or White Thanksgiving. Instead of Black Crime or White Crime, all of the crimes in this week's edition of the game are Thanksgiving crimes. So I'm going to give you the Thanksgiving crime. You got to tell me, was it a black person or a white person? That's all we got to do. So it's Black Crime, White Crime. Thanksgiving edition. Here we go. Two boys from Gulf Breeze, Florida, actually stole a live turkey, which was a family pet, along with 50 different animals from a family's farm. They also stole a bow and arrow so they could slaughter it and eat it for their Thanksgiving dinner. They were interrupted in their plans by police when they were apprehended and arrested before they were able to butcher the bird. So the two boys in Florida who stole the live pet turkey from a family's farm. Black kids, white kids.
I'm going to have to go with white kids because, you know, I just feel like that's a white crime. Black guys ain't going to chase no turkey around. So I'm just going to say that's a white crime.
So point for Robert Ory. It was white kids. Here's the giveaway in the story. They were going to try and kill it with a bow and arrow. That is the whitest shit I ever heard in my life, man. That is the whitest shit I ever heard in my life, man.
Let it run free and let's pretend.
Yeah. And we're going to try and kill it with a bow and an arrow? Huh? Like, no. Oh, God. All right. All right. Story number two. You're one for one. A 15-year-old from Texas attempted to shoplift four different smoked turkeys, along with the fixings, some sodas, for a grand total of more than $200. Here was his strategy. He lined the outer rim of the shopping cart with toilet paper and soda to try and hide all the turkey and shit inside and walk out of the store with it.
Was the soda grape?
I didn't specify. And that would have been way too much of a giveaway. I got you, yeah.
This is a black crime.
Oh, man, you're two for two. It is a black crime. Good job. Very good. Yeah.
The only reason I say it's a black crime because the black person said, if I had this, they're not going to know.
And they ain't going to see it. I'll buy two.
I forgot it was there,
paper.
So I can't go to jail. I forgot. It's a harmless crime.
I never understood the stereotype of grape soda. And the reason why I never understood it is because I loved grape soda. I freaking loved it when I was a kid. I used to drink it all the time. That's why when that stereotype broke, I was like, huh? Like, what?
I know, right?
I drank orange soda and grape soda all the time when I was a kid, man.
Have you ever had Grapey Co?
Grapey Co? No, I've never had Grapey Co.
You have to have Grapey Co.
Is it a brand of soda?
It's I think it's a Pepsi product.
Okay.
But it's called Grapey Co. It's the best grape soda.
I've never heard of it. My dad worked for Pepsi for 40 years. I've never heard of Grapey Co.
Oh, you got it. It's the best, man. I love Grapey Co.
I'll check it out. We always ended up with, oh, God, what was the generic store brand Northeast? Like, it wasn't Royal Cola, it wasn't RC Cola, but it was always like some generic ShopRite brand grape soda, grape soda or something like that. That's some generic-ass shit we always ended up with as kids.
I love it, though. It's like I used to make my mom, every time she would come to Texas, she had to bring me two cases in the car.
Of Grapey Co. Oh my God! That's that. Now that don't have her get pulled over because then she has to explain. I'm bringing my son. Two cases of grape soda. Black crime, white crime. All right. Two thieves. Our third story. Two thieves. You're two for two, by the way. Two thieves stole 200 cases of wine, valued at a total of $648,000. They stole the goods from Esquin Wine and Spirits in Seattle and were subsequently charged with second-degree theft, first-degree arson because they set a fire to get away, and second-degree burglary. 200 cases of wine. Black guys, white guys.
See, it's wine, so I'll have to go with white. That's a white crime because I don't think black people will steal wine. I'm just thinking they will go more so the liquor side.
You're three for three. Very good. That's very good. That was a white crime. And that feels like a very white crime. You're right. It does. Like, some of them you could just kind of get a vibe, and you're like, I'm kind of feeling the vibe here. That feels like a very white crime. And indeed it was. So good job. Seattle was your other giveaway. I don't know if a lot of... Besides Gary Payton, I don't know if there's a lot of black folk up in Seattle.
I love Seattle, though, man.
Seattle. I've never been.
I've never been
to Seattle. I've been to LA a couple of times and out to the coast, but never up to Seattle.
Beautiful city. You know, you go out there on the boat and the lake. It's just, Seattle is great. They need to put a team back there.
They really need to put a team. I do miss the Seattle Supersonics, who, when we talked about like classic NBA looks, oh man, I had so much Supersonics gear back in the day. And I think that had to do with just Sean Kemp, Gary Payton. They just had great, like, high profile, fun players in Seattle. Man, good stuff. All right, story number four. Thanksgiving can be a time of family stress, but it went a little too far in an argument between a woman and her half-brother at the dinner table, which ended with her grabbing a two-pronged serving fork and jamming it into his neck. He was taken to the hospital with what were called minor wounds, but she was charged with assault. So an argument that ends with the two-pronged serving fork going into her half-brother's neck. Four for four. You are 100% from the field, sir. That is 4-4. That was a black crime. I've never in my life had an argument end with someone's getting stabbed. Like, that's never been where an argument ends.
It's just so many things get heated at the table. And
have you ever had a big family fight at a Thanksgiving or at a holiday? Because no, I can't say that I ever have, but it's like this again. That's another stereotype. Like, oh, Thanksgiving, everyone's gonna fight. I'm like,
back in the day, we'd have those arguments with, you know, the family had arguments whose food is gonna be front and center. This is when, like in Alabama, like all my aunts and uncles and we all go over to
that was the fight. Whose
food's gonna be featured, and like. And whose food is to push to the side because we know it's not going to be no good.
Oh, no. See, that's it.
You know, Aunt Mabel's, her food ain't good. So don't put that on the main table. Put that shit over there.
Keep those green beans in the kitchen. Go get them if we want them. Yeah. No. Hell no. No. That I can see ending in a fight. All right. Story number five. A woman was loading Thanksgiving groceries into her car when an assailant threw her to the ground. This was near a BP station in North Carolina. A horrified bystander grabbed the frozen turkey the woman had purchased and hit the man over the head with it in an attempt to save the woman. He was still able to take the car, but officers later captured him and found he was suffering from a serious head wound and took him to the hospital. So dude tries to carjack a lady, gets hit with a frozen turkey, gets captured later with a head wound. Black guy, white guy.
This is the toughest one right now.
This is a tough one. Goodness. This is a tough one.
I'm going to say it was a black guy trying to steal the car and got hit upside the head with a turkey by a white guy. That's what I'm going with.
Your first miss of the night. It was a white guy. That was a white guy. A white guy got clocked with a turkey trying to carjack a woman at a BP station. Yeah, sorry. Your first miss, but, you know, not a lot of indicators in that story.
I know it, right? It was
not
like
a lot of indicators.
Like, okay.
Some of them are pretty generic where you're like, oh man, this could go either way.
And you know, North Carolina is that state where it goes half and half.
Yeah, it really does, man. Sometimes it's location, but man, you get into the dirty south, man. It's like, I don't know.
You said you didn't give me a city.
Yeah,
you
was
said
it
North
Raleigh
Carolina?
Or was it Charlotte? Because there's two different, you know. All right, story number six. A Florida man, of course, attempted to rob a gas station in Miami Gardens on Thanksgiving Day. The clerk was calm and collected, befriended the robber, told him he should go help himself to some beer. Meanwhile, he's triggering the silent alarm under the counter while he's talking the guy down. The man grabbed so much beer that on his way out of the store, the bags broke, the cans scattered across the parking lot. When police arrived, he was in the middle of trying to pick up all the beer and hide money in his clothes that he'd stolen from the store. Black guy, white guy. It's another one.
Oh, that's a hard one.
It's a tough one.
Due to the fact that he was trying to pick up the beer, I'm saying white guy. Black guys, usually they drive like, man, they're like, oh, fuck that, I'm out. I'm just, see, though, because I'm going white guy on this one.
Okay. Yes, miss number two, it was black dude. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
I'm with you, though. That feels, you know, very like the white guy be like, my beer, you know, trying to pick it up. Black dude would be like, deuces, see ya. Yeah.
Hey, but when you say Miami Gardens, I started to say Hispanic.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah. Can we guess Cuban guy? We guess Cuban man. It's Cuban crime. Usually in Miami Gardens, it's very likely a Cuban crime.
It's very...
there's
very
parts of Miami, because I lived down there for 10 years, there's parts of Miami where the billboards and the street signs are in Spanish.
And
it throws you. Like, Hialeah is the one that stands out to me. I had to do an appearance in Hialeah, which is a city south of Miami, but the Cuban population is like 98% or something like that. Yeah. It's a fluently Spanish-speaking community. And the billboards are in Spanish. And it throws me, because you're like, all right, whoa, okay. I mean, I get it, but it's that kind of community. A lot of that in South Florida. All right, last story, and we'll wrap it up this week. And then everyone can go have a good Thanksgiving. And this is usually where the fights would break out in my house in story number seven. One Thanksgiving, a board game got too real.
Uh-oh.
And one woman drew a hatchet on her opponent over a disagreement during the game. State troopers were called to the house, and upon seizing the hatchet, found out it was actually a bong. So they got a call. A woman pulled a hatchet on me. It was not a hatchet. It was a bong. So a woman threatened to smack another woman with a bong over a board game. Black woman, white woman.
See, when you mention bong, I don't know. If you look at the news and the story, I've never seen a white girl smoke out of a bong. So I got to go.
See, I have to vehemently disagree with you on so this. Never, like, yeah.
Okay, since you,
I know a lot.
I'm going white crime.
I knew a lot of white girls in college that, man, it was like the first thing they did, bong came out, and I was like, God bless, really? Okay.
Yeah. All right. Since you said that, I'm going with white crime.
I might have tipped the scale for you then. It was a white crime. Man. But it was. Every big fight I've ever had in a holiday, and I haven't had a lot, but any big fight mm-hmm. I've ever had has almost always revolved around Monopoly. Because that's how Monopoly really traditionally ends. No one ever wins.
We just flip the board.
Someone just gets pissed off and is like, fuck this, you can have my stuff. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, you don't have to act like that. I'm like, yeah, but you cheated. And, like, and it's just, it turns into a humongous fight.
Here's the funny, when we play Monopoly, everybody gangs up on me. Because they get mad because I always win.
You always win?
Yeah, I always win. They get mad at me because
What is your Monopoly strategy that you always win?
I don't buy up everything. It's just certain plots I buy.
Okay.
And I just win and I build really quick. I'll have no money over here. Throw all my money in the building. So once you land on it, I'm paid.
My daughter's 11. My daughter, mm-hmm. I have never beaten her in a game of Monopoly at 11 years old because she just buys everything. And I'm trying to be smart. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to buy this property. Mm-hmm. I'm going to buy this thing over here. I'll try and get the two monorails or the two trains and stuff.
Yeah.
She's just, everything she lands on, she buys, she buys, she buys. And the next thing I know, she's got shit all over the board. And I'm like, oh my God.
Do you rule where you have to go one time around or you just go straight out?
No, straight out of the box. Yeah, I mean, as soon as you land on the first property, buy it. I mean, she is like that kind of player.
Yeah. And you know, some people do that rule where you have to go one trip around before you can buy
it. Oh, no, we never did that. No. And then she ends up winning, and then I get pissed off at her, and she gets sad. And that's usually how the game ends. I was like, you cleaned me out. I didn't mean to do it. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, happy Thanksgiving. So, go to your room.
One of these things we played, they got mad because I made them play Bama Monopoly one time. It's like all Alabama stuff. They're like, I don't want to play this as we playing this because it's Bama Monopoly.
Bama Monopoly.
Yeah, it's all about stuff on the University of Tuscaloosa. I'm like, I'm trying to get Chris as a little kid to fall in love with Alabama. So he'd be like, okay, I want to go to Alabama.
There you
but
go.
It didn't work.
Well,
it didn't
I was work. Say, this year we're boycotting Alabama Monopoly. So it's okay. It works out this year.
Exactly.
No Alabama Monopoly this year. Rob, turn the table over. We're done.
Yeah.
All right. That's a show. Happy Thanksgiving.
Right. Happy Thanksgiving, my brother. I stop by a store, get some grape pecan on the way home.
I'm in. I don't even know if we sell it here in the Dirty South, but I'm gonna look.
It's a Dirty South drink.
Is it really?
Grapeco. Grapeco.
Let me look this up. Grapeco, because I've never heard of Grapeco, and Grapeco. It's a drink. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, it looks fancy. I could buy it on Amazon. All right, hold on. Where is Grapeco sold? Oh, shit, all right, it is sold here.
Yeah.
All right.
I forgot to ask you, are you a Black Friday guy or no?
What do you mean, like for shopping and
like,
stuff?
Do you shop a lot on Black Friday?
I mean, there were times in our life where it was like the boys wanted, I think there was a year that the boys wanted, I think it was a PlayStation 3, when mm-hmm. the PlayStation 3 came out. The only time you were going to be able to get one was on Black Friday. Yeah. So my wife went to like a Best Buy at 4 a.m. and stood outside for like 2 hours. They opened at 6. She was like the third or fourth person in the store. She got one of like the 10 PS3s. That was the only time we've ever done Black Friday shopping. That was it. One time. Are you a Black Friday guy?
No. I'm not. I'm just not. It's for me, it's because you wait for the sale and then you can't get it. Then you just get that disappointment. Oh man, yeah, I can't get it.
Can't get
it. I don't want to be disappointed.
No, my thing is I hate people. And Black Friday is all about the worst people. They are the worst people on Black Friday are out, man. Like they will step on you and cut in front of you and push you out of the way for stuff. And I'm like, hard pass on all of that. Like, I didn't like y'all to begin with. I certainly don't like you any better now.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.